This morning I shared out of Psalms 37 because the other day the Lord spoke to me about this. In Psalms 37 and verse 1, this is a psalm of David. He said, "Do not fret because of evildoers." You know, that's a sermon in itself right there. That is a message for us that as His people, we are not to fret about life, period. Don't fret about your problems. Don't fret about what people are doing that you know is evil, that you know is wrong. That's not a good attitude. Because we end up lending ourselves to the same problem by aligning with it and getting into the same funk. You know, if we're not careful, we can get a critical spirit on us. You know, nothing's right. This is wrong. That's wrong. You know, I've known good Christians who would listen to talk radio and listen to certain personalities on there. I'm not going to mention names, but they're political figures and they're pointing out a lot of stuff that is broken and that is wrong. But the problem becomes that all you hear is what's wrong, what's broken, what's not working right, what they're doing that's evil. And it's like a constant festering and fretting over what's broken and what's wrong. And what happens is they actually start to become like the person that they're listening to. And when you talk to them, they can't find anything good to say about anybody. Not only does it affect maybe their political view, but that also bleeds over into their personal relationships with people. To where now we can't find anything good to say about somebody. Or we're always looking for what's wrong with the person. Rather than, you know, finding out what they're doing that's good and encouraging in them in that. There's times when we have to address something. There's times when we have to speak to a person. But if we're not careful, we can get a critical spirit. I know it because I've experienced it myself. That all of a sudden, you know, everything is not right. You know, you can look around in society, folks. We can spend the rest of our lives complaining about, talking about what's not right with our government, what's not right with, you know, the school system, what's not right with this or that, and completely miss, you know, the Lord in all of this, because what He wants us to do is to realize that, hey, you're looking at the wrong thing. You're dwelling on the wrong thing. You're looking at what is broken. You got to take a look at the solution here and say, you know, Jesus is the answer for this. Instead of me complaining and cursing the darkness, why don't I do something about it? And you'll find that a lot of people, even who are complaining about the fact that the prayer got taken out of the schools, which is not good either. I agree with that. But even in that, we can get into the complaining thing, and it's just like, oh, if they didn't take prayer, blah, 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 blah. Folks, it's not about the unbeliever. They're not going to bring a solution. You and I have the answer. His name is Jesus. We are the salt. We are the light. And just cursing the darkness isn't going to change it. And you'll find that even the people who are complaining sometimes about not having prayer in school are not even praying with their children at home. We want somebody, I don't want somebody else to teach my children the Bible, by the way. You don't know what kind of mess they're going to get. Now, should we have Bible? I think they should have Bible reading, yes, but if we would do our part at home, then we don't have to worry about our kids believing the lie, because you have sown the truth into them and they're able to discern what is true and what is false. It's not the school's job to educate your children about Jesus. Exactly. So do not fret because of evildoers. Why? Because their time is coming. They're not going to be forever. Nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Don't look at other people and just say, hey, how come they got it so good? They're partying hardy. They're having a good time, you know? And it's like that song that Billy Joel, what was it? Only the good die young. I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. For only the good die young. What a lie. The problem with that is that you're going to die the second death, which is eternity apart from God. The only hope is in God. The only hope is in Christ. And folks, the promise to God's people, because everybody weeps in this world. Even the ones that laugh today and party today, folks, many of those, that laughter turns to sorrow. Amen. And yet, in the Lord, our sorrow turns to joy. Yes. And so while they think, and I was there, I know, while you think, this is going to make me happy, it made me sad. What was supposed to bring joy robbed me of my ability to experience joy. Experience real pleasure. Do you know that's what drugs do, right? Yeah. It robs you of your ability to experience pleasure naturally. So you get an artificial high, but in exchange for that, you lose the ability to experience natural, real pleasure. It's not worth it. And that's how the devil works. He offers you something that's artificial, that seems to be good at the time. But in exchange, you pay a higher price. But in Christ, even though there may be weeping for the night, we know that joy is coming. It's coming in the morning. You may go through a long season, but let me tell you, the longer the season that you go through, the greater the blessing on the other side. You want to be great in God's kingdom? You're going to have to go through something. Amen? We have to go through some stuff to become what God wants us to become. He has to hone us. He has to wean us off some stuff. He has to condition us for what He wants to give us. He has to prepare us for what He has, because if we're not ready for it, we're not going to be able to handle it. So He develops our character through difficulties. And it's not forever. It's for a season. Hallelujah. Sometimes a long season, but the longer the season, the greater the blessing. And even when you've had to wait for an answer, wait for a promise, the longer you wait for the promise, the greater the joy when it finally comes. It's just like waiting for that Christmas present. Amen. Counting the days. And if you had it just instantly every time, you wouldn't appreciate it as much as if you had to wait for it. It says, they shall soon be cut down like the grass. Who's that? The evil doers. And they'll wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Where are you going to find your delight? Well, delight yourself in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. How many times, you know, sometimes I sound like a broken record, but it's so true that our heaven is in Him. He is a joy unspeakable. He is my joy. So that's what we have in Christ, and that's what people are really looking for. But you know what? You can sit at a banquet and watch somebody else dine and say, boy, they're really having a good time over there. It's kind of interesting how they eat. And they seem to be enjoying themselves. Yet we can sit and we can just be a bystander. We can sit and we can be an observer, but never get into the banquet ourselves. And when God is saying, hey, I've set a table before you. I've set a banquet before you. Go for it. You don't have to be an observer. You don't have to watch somebody else get blessed. Get in the river yourself. And once you taste and see that the Lord is good, you start delighting in Him. It's like, wow. Wow. You know, I never knew God was good. Growing up. I mean, yeah, we sang the little song in Sunday school, God is so good, you know, but I didn't really know that God was good. Do you know that God really is good? Yeah. I mean, really, really good. Really, really. He is joy. beyond comprehension. Love, perfect love. He's a peace that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. You got to get out from the outer court into the inner place, into the holy place. Amen? We got to quit just dabbling with Christianity and dabbling with the things of God. And, well, I'll put my toe in like, yeah, it's kind of cool. I got a few goosebumps, you know, there. Go ahead. Man, jump into the deep end. When you find out, you just got to get past yourself. So you get past you and dive in. Dive in. That's what people don't understand. People that have dove in will dive in again. Because they say, wow, God really is good. He really is my delight. He delights in those who delight in Him. And He will show up where He's wanted. So delight yourself in the Lord. And then what will happen is your heart will change and your desires will begin to line up with what He wants for you. Because what He wants for you is better than what you think you want. So as we delight ourselves in the Lord, He gives us the desires of our hearts. And then it says in verse 5, to commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Do we do that in everything we decide to do? You know, Lord, I'm getting ready to make a decision here. I want to commit this to You. I want to submit it before Your desk. Give me the rubber stamp on it or not, you know. Boom, approved. Boom, don't do it. Because, you know, if we just say, I really don't want to ask God because He may not give me the answer that I want. As if we're smarter than Him. As if, you know, God wants to rob you of your joy or something. It's like, whenever God does it, it's always good for us. If we listen to Him, it works. But we've all done that, haven't we? We really didn't want to hear what God had to say. Have you ever done that? Really didn't want to hear what God had to say, so you didn't ask Him? Wow, that new car looks really sharp. I don't know if I want to ask God if it's okay or not. I'll break out the buy now, cry later card and we'll make the purchase and... Or I'll just decide to do what I want to do and then ask God to bless it after the fact. And then, God, why did You do this to me? He said, I didn't do it to you. I tried to warn you about that. But if you give Him, commit your way to Him and trust Him, He says in verse 6, He's going to bring forth your righteousness as the light. And your justice as a noonday, even when you're mistreated, when, you know, your name is excluded from the crowd because you're one of those Jesus callers. You don't really fit in. Come on, if you're a child of God, how many realize you don't fit in with the world crowd? You never will. No matter how hard you try, you're not going to fit in that glove. So quit trying to fit. Be who you are in Christ and say, listen, what I have, you can have too. But if you're trying to be like the world, you're not giving them anything that they need. You're just actually aiding and abetting in their own destruction. So we need to just say, listen, there's a better way. God has a better way. And let me tell you what Jesus did for me. How He brought me out. And you know, once you do these things, you trust, you delight, you commit. Then in verse 7, you can do what? You can rest. In other words, you've done everything you know to do. You've trusted in Him. You've acknowledged Him. You've committed your way to Him. Now you can just say, okay, I did my part. I'm just going to rest now. I'm not going to fret. I'm going to rest instead. There's a lot of stuff going on, but we don't need to fret about it. What we need to do is this right here. Amen. Remember that it's only for a season. And don't allow what the world is doing to rob you of your joy or your victory. Just believe, trust, rest in Him. You know, there's only so much we can do. I mentioned this morning, you know this, that if it's something that is beyond your ability, if it's something you have no control over, why do you worry about it? We do, though. But don't worry about something you have no control. If it's out of your control, then what you need to do is commit it to God. Say, God, I can't do it. It's out of my control. I need your help. And now, Lord, I'm going to just leave it in your hands. I'm not going to give it to you and say, well, I'll take that back and carry it some more. But I'm going to cast all my cares upon him. Yes. Quit worrying about it. Get into the place of rest. That means I let go of it. I just let it go. And I lean back in his arms and let go. Rest. Rest in the Lord. Because it's a season, it's a time, you know, period that you're going to have to go through until the answer comes. Isn't it true that God always comes through some way, somehow?
Yes.
How many times have we had things happen that we just didn't see the answer? And especially it didn't come the way we expected it to come. So many times the Lord has done things in my lives that I was thinking, well, God, you know, you need to do this right. And you need to do it this way. And the Lord didn't do it my way. But he answered my prayer, but he answered it in the best way. And in his way. And often it came in a way that I didn't even see. I'd needed financial miracles before. And I was thinking, Lord, if you just do this or move upon a millionaire or whatever it was that we needed. You know, and yet the Lord would work another way. And it would come in. And it was totally unexpected. It's something that I didn't see coming. That way you knew who did it. So we can give him glory for it. Because he wants you to know he cares. He wants you to know he loves you. He wants to take care of you, but you got to let him do it. You got to listen to him. And then in verse 8, cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. Who are the meek? The meek are the poor in spirit. The meek are the ones who realize they don't have all the answers and they don't have what it takes to overcome. They're the ones that say, God, help me. And he comes to your aid. The world teaches us that you have to do everything. You have to take care of number one. Even if that means stepping on somebody else to get ahead. But that's not God's way. And so we see things aligning in the nations. I mentioned this morning how that Satan is working so feverishly to bring the nations together to oppose the God of heaven. And his covenant people. We see all these things that are coming into place right now. And that he actually thinks that he's going to be able to pull this off. And even people who think that somehow they can oppose the plans of the Almighty God. It's no different than at the time of Babel in Genesis, where they thought they could make a name for themselves, irregardless of what God had to say about it. We're going to do it our way. That's the same thing happening today. We're seeing that same spirit right now across the earth. God's not going to tolerate it forever, folks. But right now, during this time, God is separating the sheep from the goats. I see already that there's a separation taking place in the spirit. First in spirit. And someday face to face. Someday you're going to see it literally. But right now, folks, I think what's happening is in the spirit and in the heart, people are being separated right now. Do you know before somebody worships the devil, they first are worshiping him in their heart? Before somebody will bow down to a literal idol, they first have erected an idol in their hearts. So what the devil does is he first entices people, and in their hearts they begin to stray. In their hearts they begin to turn away from God. In their hearts they begin to rebel. And then the time comes when they literally, in the physical, in the natural, begin to act out what was going on in the heart. And so the first thing that's happening, folks, is the separation is taking place where? Internally, inside people right now. They are being groomed. I want you to hear this. They're being groomed by evil forces in high places. The enemy, the devil, is behind a lot of things that are happening in high places, in governments, in monetary systems, to bring things into order for this great rebellion of man, where man will exalt himself as God. And they will elect someone. Someone will show up on the scene who will be the ruler, the world dictator, who will be the man of the hour, seemingly the Messiah. To some who are backslidden and those who are in blindness, he will be their Jesus. To the Muslims, he will be their fifth Imam, or whoever he is, the Mahdi. And then you have the Hindus, they have their Christ, and the Buddhists have their Christ. He's going to be all of these things in one person. They're all looking for their Messiah, folks. And the people who are already now being set up in their hearts, and they're rebelling in their hearts. In other words, they've heard the message over and over, but they have refused to listen to the message. What's happening in the church today are people are hearing the message over and over, but they're hardening their hearts to the message. In other words, they hear it, but they don't obey it. We say, that was a good sermon, but we don't do anything with it. And when we don't listen to God's instruction, we're beginning to set ourselves up for destruction. Are you with me? We're actually closing down the door that God is trying to get through to us. And so right now, things are being positioned right now so that there will be a separation eventually of the sheep and the goats, and it's already begun in the hearts. There are people in the church who are worshiping a different Jesus, a Jesus of their own choosing. They don't like the Jesus of the Bible, so they twist Jesus to fit into their own lifestyle. The Jesus that will wink at their sin and pat them in the back and say, oh, no problem. Are you with me? And yet it was that very sin, those very sins that put him on the cross. Do you think that God the Father is winking at sin? The Bible says no. He has appointed a day in which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained. And he has given us assurance of this, and that he has raised him from the dead. God is not winking at sin, folks. He is commanding all men everywhere to repent today. You must repent of your sins. If you do not repent, you will perish. If you do not change your mind and get into alignment with his will, with his way, you will perish. God will never force himself on you. He's saying, here is the safety net. Here is the lifesaver. This is the way out of your mess. Will you listen to me? But if we refuse and we rebel in our hearts, then we are setting ourselves up to believe a lie. Those who refuse the love of the truth, the Bible says, will believe a lie. And they shall all be damned who had pleasure in unrighteousness. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. This is the reality of this hour. There is a separation taking place. God is separating his people, his bride, those who will be with him forever. It's no time to play church or to play games or to just get your foot in the water, folks. It's time to get immersed in God. Amen? Amen. It's time to get as close to Him as you possibly can so that you are fully equipped and prepared unto every good work, that you might be light, you might be salt in this world, that you might be the instrument in His hand, hallelujah, that's going to bring the hope of the gospel to people. As I mentioned this morning, the opposition against Christ and His church is going to continue to increase. Just expect it. It's going to get harder and harder to be a believer. But folks, Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." The only way we're going to overcome is by abiding in Him. You're not going to be able to sit on the fence anymore. You're going to have to make a decision who you're going to serve. You cannot serve two masters. God is not going to tolerate that middle ground anymore. That's the time we're living in. We're living in the time of separation right now, folks. Get ready to meet Jesus. Paul was willing to go all the way to the end, even to the point where he had been bound in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. We read that in Acts 20 and 23. And 22, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. But he said in verse 23, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But he said, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. Do we have the same heart of Paul that say, Lord, I don't count my life dear to me. I want to finish this race with joy. I don't want to try to save myself because I can't. No matter what in the world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have hard times. But God promises to His people, the ones who love them, the tears that you shed will be rewarded in eternity.
Hallelujah.
But those who laugh now, God one day will laugh at their calamity. Because when He called, they would not listen. His Son has been evidently crucified and given up for the sins of the world. God so loved the world. He said, I've made every provision for you to be saved, to be sanctified, to be set apart, to be ready for when I come to receive my church, my bride, my people. Will you be ready in that day? Jesus said, watch and pray always that you may be counted worthy to stand before the Son of Man. This is the reality, folks. This is the time we're living in. There's separation taking place. It's no time to play games. There's too many people, folks, that are populating hell right now. You and I have the answer. God help us. You know what's happening, folks? God is moving forward right now. He's moving to establish that throne on which Jesus Christ will rule. On this earth, everything is coming together for that grand, hallelujah, entry of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The day is coming when He shall come in clouds of glory, hallelujah, and every eye shall see Him. Shato kapasa. Lord, make us ready for You. We read in Isaiah chapter 2 that the time is coming when they will say, come, let us go up unto the mountain of the Lord. Amen. To the house of the God of Jacob. The nations shall come. Hallelujah. And they shall keep the Feast of Tabernacles, and we shall come and we will worship the Lord out in Jerusalem. He shall rule and reign over all the earth. He's going to set up His kingdom above every kingdom. Amen. Jesus is going to put down all rule and authority, and He shall reign, hallelujah, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. Amen. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Those of us who are sowing in the Holy Spirit, those of us who are worshiping, those of us who have given ourselves now will one day reign with Him. Because if you give yourself for Him, it will mean there will be persecution, there will be rejection, there will be difficulties. In this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Those of us who are sowing now will reap with Him, hallelujah, eternally. We will reign with the Lord in that day. And He shall be glorified in His saints. And those who have given themselves for Him, hallelujah, He's going to come and He's going to have us sit down at His table. And He says He's going to serve us in that day. You know what? I'm going to be like Peter probably. Oh, Lord, not me. But you know, Jesus loves us so much. And he's given us everything that we need. He's made available to us, folks, everything that we need. There's nothing more that God has to do. Amen. He's given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's available freely in Christ. What are we doing? Are we just kind of like sitting on the outside looking in? We don't need to be outer court Christians. You know what I'm saying? We come in and get a few goosebumps. See, that was fun. Come on, we need to get into the very secret place with God, shut ourselves in with Him, have communion with Him in the Spirit. We need to know Him. It's like that word that you said, Joan, do you know Jesus? And he says, well, I know about Him. You know, folks, there's a lot of people that know about Him. You know what? Let me be honest with you. I know about Jesus and I'm getting to know Him. Let's not get too spiritual here, okay? We are all in the process of getting to know Jesus. But to an unbeliever, it's they can only know about Him, possibly even know about Him. But Jesus said this, this is eternal life, that you may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. Do you know Him? We want to know You, Lord. I tell you, sometimes I just pace and I pray. I say, God, I just want to know You. I want to know You. And I want You to know me. Is Jesus going to recognize you in that day when you see Him? Is He going to say, oh, I know who you are. I know. I've been looking forward to having you come into my kingdom. I know who you are. You're the one who is telling people about me. You're the one who is serving me. Or is He going to say, who are you? I don't know you. You claim to know me. With your mouth you show much love, but your heart is far from me. You claim to know me, but you've been living a life of iniquity. You've been living in rebellion to me. You can't say you know Jesus, because to know Him is to love Him, and to love Him is to serve Him. To love Him is to obey Him. You know you're getting to know Jesus when you start living for Him. Not when you just know about Him. That's the beginning. You need to learn about Him so you may know Him. God help us. God is not shaken by any of these things that are happening on the earth, folks. And those of us who abide in Him will not be shaken either. Do you want to be able to stand in the days ahead? It's not going to come any other way except that you completely and fully surrender your life to Jesus Christ. You see, God's not going to just accept that we give Him a little bit of our spare change and our leftovers. Why? Because He gave the full offering for us on the cross. He gave it all away for us to purchase you and I to be His own bride. And His bride, He does not want prostituting herself with the world. He is coming for a church without spot or blemish. He's coming for a bride that is pure, that is holy, that is ready for when He comes. Are you with me? He's not coming for a prostitute that has sold herself for temporary things, to forsake eternal things. America's problem today is the same as in Ezekiel's day. It's the sin of Sodom. Now most people, you know, and even myself, when I think of Sodom, well, you think of homosexuality. And that is a problem. But folks, it goes beyond that. That's a symptom of something that's deeper. Sometimes we're just looking at the fruit of one's life and the sin that has become so evident. And yet there's something that is going on in the very core of that person that needs to be addressed. And God wants to set them free. God wants to heal them. God wants to deliver them. Jesus loves homosexuals. But Jesus doesn't want them to be left in that place of dysfunction, because it is against the order that God has established clearly in His Word when He brought the first man and the first woman together. And He said, "Be multiply and replenish the earth." We're supposed to be reproducing, folks. Come on, you know, we're worried about the animals becoming extinct. What if everybody started to have that mentality? I think we'd be an extinct species. Oh, I know it's not politically correct to talk this way. But God's word is what I'm going to preach. Amen? That's what I believe. That's what He said. The problem is that we're clamming up because we're so afraid that somebody's going to get mad at us because we speak the truth. We speak the truth in love. If you don't love people, you won't tell them the truth. You don't play patty cake with something that's going to destroy somebody's soul. You need to repent. You need to turn to God. God will forgive you. God will heal you. God will straighten out whatever the confusion is in your life. But you've got to turn to Him. He's the only one that can really set you free. It's unfortunate that so many are just, instead of coming to Jesus to be healed, they're making excuses for it and saying it's okay. God understands. What have they done? It's idolatry that began in the heart. They begin to say that God, you know, is going to be like this for me. God hasn't changed. He doesn't change. That's one constant. Amen. God doesn't change. I am the Lord and I change not, He said. We're the ones that need to change. You're not going to be able to change Him to fit your life. I hope you know I'm not here to slap anybody tonight. I'm just telling you the truth, that's all. Because not only is this good for all of us here, including myself, but it's good for others that need to hear the truth, folks. We've got to quit compromising. There's a seeker-sensitive movement today. It's just making everybody feel comfortable so that they'll come in. We'll have the big crowds and the big offerings, and everybody's going to be a happy camper, and nobody's going to be challenged in their life. And they're being told that they're okay when they're not. And we're setting them up to become children of hell. Because there's no true salvation except through the cross. And the cross means you must repent of your sins. You must confess them to God. You must renounce your connection to them. And then God will give you His life. Amen. What was the sin of Sodom? Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. This was the condition of Ezekiel's day. He said, "Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy." Number one, what was the sin of Sodom? It was pride. Folks, pride is you and I being so arrogant to say, "I don't need to listen to God. I do it my way." We're rebelling against God. We're proud. We're arrogant to think that we have a better way. That I don't have to listen to my Creator, the one who made me, who knows what works. The second is fullness of bread. What this meant is that they had misplaced their trust. They were now trusting in what they had, their possessions, their prosperity, rather than the God who provided freely all things for them to enjoy. This is where we're at. This is what's happening. That's why America's getting a spanking, is because we have misplaced our trust. Even the Christian church has put its trust in wealth rather than God. Yeah. This third thing is idleness, laziness. Even folks, to do nothing is to make a decision. Are you with me? As believers, there's no such thing as passivity in the kingdom of God. This is a kingdom that is on the move. This is a kingdom that is unstoppable and that is advancing, and that God is leading us in a path, amen, to conquer and to overcome the works of the devil in the earth. That is our assignment. And we do that by taking words with us. As we speak the truth in love, people realize that God loves them, that God has a better plan for their life, that God wants to change them and rearrange them and turn their life around and put their feet on solid ground, that God has plans of a future of a hope. Amen?
Amen.
And so indifference is the other sin that's mentioned here. They didn't take care of the poor and the needy. In other words, there was just an indifference towards, well, what's in it for me, was the attitude. Selfishness. You know, you've heard it, and I don't want to sound like I'm fretting because we just read about that. But you know, there are people that are sitting on millions, sometimes billions of dollars that could do so much to help people. But the interesting thing about money is that in most cases, the more people get, the more greedy they become. Money corrupts many people. And that's why I think some of us don't have money, because it's not good for us. For real. And you struggle and you strive, but you're not, because God knows what you can handle and what you can't. Some people are very good about money and managing it and being faithful to give. And God can entrust people with more. But whenever you have more, it just means that you're now more responsible. Amen? To be a good steward of what you've received. So we cannot be indifferent towards others, or complacency and apathy sets in. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, will I be part of the solution or part of the problem? Do you realize, folks, Jesus made it very clear that to his followers, you're either going to be part of the solution or part of the problem. You cannot sit in the middle and expect to be productive in any way. As a matter of fact, Jesus said it this way: he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. If you're not gathering with Jesus, you're going to be scattering. Wow. In other words, he's saying it's not enough just to acknowledge me. It's not enough to call me Lord. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then don't do the things that I tell you to do? Do you see the difference? If he's Lord, that means he's in charge. And what he says we're going to do. How many here are going to be gatherers? We're gathering in the harvest, amen? Amen? We're gathering in the people. We're bringing in the souls to Jesus. We're going to be about building and edifying and encouraging and strengthening one another in the Lord, in the faith. Yes. We're going to be gathering. We're not going to be scattering. But when we get into these sins of Sodom, we become selfish and apathetic and complacent. Then it becomes all about me and my needs and what do I get out of it, and what happens when you get a group of people together that think like that? Boy, they're just at each other's throat. Why? Because it's all selfish ambition. But when we're all lovers and we're all givers, God is looking for lovers. Lovers are givers. That doesn't mean just money. It means your life. You give yourself for others. When we come together and we're giving, that's what it's like here. There's givers here. And when we come together, it's wonderful. You want to be around people who are loving. You want to be around people who don't stay in their own shell and hide, but they come out and they love on you. How many like to come into a church where there's love, right? I mean, genuine love. Yeah. Those are gatherers. Those are the ones who are drawing the people to Christ. The ones who are obedient. And it's not something you can fake. It's not something that you just act like doing. How many know that you can fake it pretty good? Oh, yeah. Anybody can act loving and kind. The cults do it all the time. They may be good people, but they go around and they're so nice. Do you cross them, right? There's false humility. They're so humble. Good actors. There's a lot of good actors, you know. That's what a hypocrite is, an actor. But we've got to have the genuine. We're not going to love. We're not going to give unless we are filled with Him who is love. It all comes back to that, doesn't it? Every time. We got to get away from just doing stuff for God and get to the place where we're walking with God. Walking with God. From now on, I'm going to walk with God. I made up my mind. Have you? We're going to walk with Jesus now. We're going to serve Jesus. We're going to serve His people. We're going to get involved in His work. Hey, there's opportunities here. You want to serve? You want to get involved? Hallelujah. Start plugging in. Amen. There's going to be opportunities. We've got plans coming up. Things are going to happen this summer again. And I want to take it up a notch from last summer. Amen. But I want to do some preparation and some equipping and we're going to do some training. And we want to really put together a team and maybe several prayer teams. That we're not going to just do the CWOW only, but we're going to go and strategically place ourselves in places that we can reach people. Amen. For Jesus. So we're going to do this. We're not going to just talk about it. We got to be gatherers. If we're not busy for the Lord, if we're not involved, folks, do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You follow me? I mean, you can come and you can sit and you can listen and you can say, amen, that was a good message. Go out and just do your own thing the rest of the week. Are you really gathering? It's a daily walk with Jesus, a daily walk. And when we're there and we walk in the Spirit and we're abiding in the Lord. When you abide in Him, you will have His heart in you. You will desire what He desires. You will want to see people come to know Him.
Yes.
It's not something you can manufacture. You don't act like a Christian, folks. That's hypocrisy. You become a Christian. By abiding in Christ. That takes away the struggle of performance to relationship. Abiding in the vine. Staying in the river. Isn't it easy when we just worship? We walk with Him, worship. And we encourage and we come together and we strengthen, we hone, we edify. For what purpose? That we might all be involved in advancing the kingdom of God on the earth. That's what we're called to do. This kingdom, I'm almost finished, is an unstoppable kingdom. There's no way. The devil is trying so hard to stop the advancement of the gospel, but every time, even when he kills people to try to do it, he thinks he'll kill them and he'll stop it. It only spreads more. We're like that radical cell. If they bombard it with radiation or whatever, and it just splits it and it just spreads. He tries to stop it, but instead it just spreads all the more. You're not going to be able to stop the Church of Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news? That He can't stop us. And the only thing that's going to stop us is us. When we decide, I don't want to do it, or I'm not going to listen. Or if you listen to the other voice that says, you better not do it. Or I've got something better for you to do with your time. Why don't you waste your time playing bingo? Waste your time gambling. I said it this morning, but if you knew Jesus was coming at 12 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, where would you find yourself? Where would you be? Would you be watching that show you usually watch on television? We'd all be, hey, let's go get together and have a praise meeting. Amen. Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. Do you see it? Good way to examine yourself, because Jesus said He's coming in an hour when you think not. And when He said, when I come again, will I find faith on the earth? It's time to wake up. We better realize that whatever you allow in your life, you need to allow before the Lord, because everything you do, even in your secret heart where you really live, maybe nobody else knows you, but God knows who you really are.
Amen.
It's time to get your heart right.
Yeah.
God, I'm an open book. I have no secrets. You know me anyways. What I do? Well, I try harder. No, I just present my body to Him. I present my life to Him every day. I said, Lord, here, I give You my life. I present my life to You. I present it as the whole offering. Lord, lead me, guide me, take my day, lead me in the way I should go. It's a daily walk, and it is a joy to walk with the Lord. Get out of the place of trying to save yourself, trying to improve yourself, make yourself better. When your heart changes, your life will change. Anybody can put a patch on their life. Anybody can stop a bad habit. Most people. Sometimes not, but sometimes you can just, out of sheer willpower, you can stop doing something. But if the heart doesn't change, you end up right back in it, and sometimes even worse.
Amen.
And that's what God is saying to us today. You got to come to the place where you're done with your way, with your life. Jesus said, he who will save his life will lose it.
Yes.
But he who lose his life for my sake in the gospel will find it.
Amen.
Have we not found our life here?
Yes.
Have we not found our life in Christ, that he is our life?
Yes.
I don't need the artificial stuff of the world. Hallelujah. There is such a joy in the Holy Spirit that the world can never give me and offer me. Hallelujah. If you want to get high, you got to go to the Most High. Get high on Jesus. Because you have access to his very throne of grace. He'll take you to his banqueting table. He'll take you into his wine cellar. And his banner over me is love. We can drink. We can find our fulfillment in him. Hallelujah. When you delight yourself in the Lord, you will find that the things that used to delight you no longer can hold a candle to that. They don't even compare. Don't come close. When you get close to Jesus and you're delighting in Jesus, the things that you used to enjoy look dirty to you anymore. You don't even want them anymore. If you're riding the fence and you're just kind of in and out, then you're going to be back and forth. You're going to be double-minded and unstable in all your ways. You got to come to the place where you make up your mind.
Amen.
And that's it. I'm done. Today is the day that I'm going to change my mind and I'm going to go God's way.
Amen.
And when you mean it, God sees your heart. And guess what? He says, grace. Grace comes on your life. And addictions are broken.
Amen.
Hallelujah.